Welcome to the Manager Matt podcast show. The show is designed to give you solutions to your day-to-day management and leadership problems. It's hosted by Matthew Haddock, a frontline manager and leader with over 25 years of experience. If you're ready, then let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Manager Matt podcast show. This week's show, it's part two of effective communications at work. We're going to look at what are the main methods of communication, what are the barriers to communication, and what you can do to improve your communication. So without any more delay, let's get on with this week's show. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the show. Hope you're all doing well. And really getting what you need out of your work, out of your life, out of this show. I hope you're really enjoying listening to what I'm producing here at the Manager Matt Show. Last week's show was around effective communication part one. If you haven't had a listen, please go back and have a listen. If not, that's fine. I'm sure you'll pick up today's show as we go through. And now, obviously, we all know communication is the key to successfully run businesses. And we also know that when businesses don't communicate, or don't get communication right, I should say, then things don't work right. There's lots of infighting, there's lots of things that nobody knows, there's lots of jobs that don't get done, there's lots of silos that are created, there's lots of barriers that are put up in business. And just today I want to talk around those barriers and what we do about trying to be effective at getting rid of the barriers. Now, one thing I did touch on slightly in the part one, but I'll touch on again, is how we communicate, methods of communication. And you've got to think, in the workplace, depending on where you are and depending on the side, there'll be a number of different ways of communicating inside your business. There'll be the written and obviously the oral communication. In small businesses, especially in close teams, working in, say, the same building, it's very simple to have a lot of face-to-face communications. You know, we work most of the time with the people around us to deliver, so they understand the message, they can be communicated to very quickly, especially in small one-man teams where you've got one boss, maybe a couple of guys working for them. A lot of it's going to be very much around oral communication, doing face-to-face, telling people what to do, telling them where to get it. And that is also the same in a lot of leadership positions. If you think management and leadership, you will have a lot of people who will directly be involved with face-to-face management of people. If you're a supervisor, you'll go see a person and you'll talk to them face-to-face and ask them to do a role or ask them a task that needs doing or give them some feedback on what's happening. So that is definitely going to be in a business. There will be an amount of documentation that goes with a business. In smaller businesses, you'll get less. But in bigger businesses, you know, you will have quite a lot of reliance on formal procedures, processes and systems to make sure the message is not misunderstood. There is also a need for some formal information at any size business for legal reasons, you know, such as health and safety. You know, in the areas that I've worked in, communication, both written and face-to-face or orally, is very important. The jobs we need to complete, usually, especially around, say, an engineering job, you know, you would have a engineering drawing, for instance, that came with it. But the communication of the details may come down to the foreman or the leader or the supervisor explaining exactly what needs to be done, especially if there's something that's changed and hasn't got through. So communication inside businesses, there's lots of different methods and you've got to be aware of these methods. You know, one of the really kind of obvious things you'll see in businesses is a huddle in the morning. So teams will get together, do the huddle. And it's a huddle where they'll be just saying, right, today's jobs are, especially in processes where you're making things, today's jobs are to create X, Y, and Z, then we'll go and get on with it. And, or there's a problem from yesterday, this is what happens. Most standing meetings, if you have a morning meeting, if you're in an operations or in a call centre, your manager will ask for certain metrics to be fed back and then they will partake in the conversation, then they'll give you some messages back. So these are the forms of communication that happen all the time. So communication doesn't have to be one-to-one, doesn't have to be always done on a computer. It can be very much around people talking directly or indirectly around the business and how things are happening inside that work. When it comes to barriers, so you know when you look at the advantages and disadvantages of certain ways of communicating, that's what you normally look at first. So there is some definite advantages for both sides of the communication spectrum. You know, but all of them have that effective balance, and you need an effective balance of both written and oral to make sure it works well inside a business. You know, In some instances, you'll get information fed directly from your manager, as I said, straight to you. In some instances, there will be times where it would be actually much more sensible to have it on a formal communication that goes out to people. And of course, there's a number of advantages and disadvantages to both of those. Written communication gives everyone the same message. You know, this reduces the chances of people misunderstanding or misreading or getting the message wrong. It also helps you talk to larger amounts of people. And it can be very detailed, you know, such as work instructions, legal documents. In written work, you'll have this. You can do lots of other things like embed pictures so that people understand the message much more. And they're actually then easy to attach that message, send it by email to a wider group, put on files so that if you've got an auditor, you can pull it up. So it helps speed up the delivery of the message. But it does mean that it has to be understood by the receiver. And that can be a real disadvantage, because some form of disadvantage is the fact that you might not be able to read it correctly. As we said on the part one, if language is a big barrier and you struggle to read the communication, or you have a learning difficulty such as dyslexia, it can be very difficult for people to read and actually understand it. Or if it's too technically complicated, people might understand the message that the tech persons are trying to communicate, but it gets lost in that translation. So written communication can also be very, very out of date. It becomes wallpaper. You've seen lots of notice boards when you're at work. They've not been updated. And that's a sign of something that's being put out as a written communication. And usual, you know, and these days you'll see lots of old COVID signs around, which have obviously not been removed. So, and written communication on boards that just become, people just don't see the message anymore. So in the written communication side of this, it's very important that you update your information. You're sending it in the simplest form. If you're going to send an email, don't make it 5 or 6 pages long of email. Make it very direct. And you've got to really kind of look at how you can make sure that the message lands with everyone. Even though you think you've sent it to everyone, doesn't mean everyone's read it. Whereas obviously face-to-face, when you're looking them in the eyes, makes it a lot more easier for them to make sure they've understood it. So what about the other side of it? So we spoke about the written side and making sure it's up to date, making sure that it's delivered and people understand it. But what about the other side? When you're actually speaking, the oral communication at work, it's important to make sure you're distinguishing communications whilst you're doing the oral communication. Sometimes just having a general chat with people informally, it is a form of communication. So don't forget that those, as a leader, can make a massive impact. And what you're saying and communicating, you might think it's an off the record. You might think it's just a chat around the water cooler or the coffee machine. But, you know, don't kid yourself. Those are communication acts. Those are you communicating with people, usually at a lower level in your departments or in your business. So what you say, you've got to be very careful with, because they're going to take it in. And as we said in my first one about there being a sender and a receiver, oral communication is very much around sender and receiver. Obviously, the advantage of using the spoken communication is it can deliver a message very quickly. It shows you connect with your audience because they can see you. They can see you talking. It's the same on Zoom or on Teams. They can see you talking. They can communicate. They can understand you. Face-to-face is obviously a lot better because people can actually read the body language. And we know that body language is a big part of what we say. Our bodies, the way they move. Humans have been prepared to read people's body language for as long as we've been here. So you've got to remember that the body language that you're using when you're delivering these messages makes a big difference. So when you are speaking to people, be aware of the way that you look, the way that you act, the way that you stand, the way you kind of try to act and put your message over. Obviously, the disadvantage, unless you're following a script, is that the message can get diluted or misunderstood by the audience when you're using a spoken word. There's also a problem of people will not understand the language again, or the accent of the presenter. As you probably know, I'm a Yorkshireman, so slightly different accent even. And people in large group settings may not feel comfortable asking questions or raising concerns. So you've got to be careful of that. So for more formal messages, as in one-to-one settings, oral communication style can work very well, especially with just two of you. The sender can gauge the receiver's reaction to the message. They can also get a sense that they understand the message and they've delivered. You know, some people do feel uncomfortable talking to their managers as they're worried about positional power affecting their answer they're given. And it's easier for subordinates to say yes. when they're, you know, being asked questions by managers. A lot of times the people in authority will put pressure, even subconsciously, onto the person who you're talking to answer in a certain way and not say a certain thing. They can be almost struck by it. So it is a balance. Yeah, it's always a balance to make sure that you're getting the right level when you are working on your communication style. Because a lot of people ask about communication style. And it, if you're aware of it and you can understand your body language and you can understand how your tone works and how the speed of the message comes over, it's a lot more simpler to understand why or why not the message you're trying to deliver happens. And when you think of nonverbal, you know, humans are very visual. It's important to be able to see nonverbal communications that are given off when you're speaking to people face to face or on a video call. The voice tone, as I said, the body language can be something very difficult and very different from the words that you're actually using. When a manager or a supervisor speaks to an individual, it's important to have a good understanding of their own verbal signs, as I've said. You know, and you've got to read it. If you're avoiding eye contact, you look distracted when giving an instruction, it may show that you're uninterested in the message or the person receiving it. It can be hard not to give off some verbal signals to people, especially when there's a lot of emotion in a message. And it's important to make sure you never give a message when you're feeling mad or angry or frustrated. This will not help in any situation. But on the other hand, you should remember that you are human, so it's not unnatural for you to, you know, to have these feelings, and it isn't natural for you to suppress emotions. And non-verbally, you'll give it away anyway. People will read you. If you're angry and you walk into a room, people can tell. We've been bred that way. So if you are a leader and a manager, make sure you're making good eye contact, stand within a comfortable distance without being in the person's personal space, and speak in a slow and controlled tone. And be aware of your arm positions. I know that sounds a bit strange, but your arms that are flapping around uncontrollably look very strange. But also, if you're standing at attention with your arms at the side of you, it can be a different message. So just be aware of your own non-verbal traits, especially when you're giving a message that might not be received very, you know, welcomely. I mean, naturally, when you're just chatting in the canteen, you will have a different demeanour. But if you're giving a formal communication to a group and you may be giving something that's quite serious, just be aware of your ways that you come over. One good way is either use the video technology to video yourself, get somebody else to watch it, or do it in front of a mirror. It does sound a bit odd, but you'll get to feel it. Most of Zoom or Teams, you can actually see yourself or run a meeting with yourself, so you can get to actually see where your eyes go, look at the contact. So that's a good idea, making sure you've done that. You know, when it comes to things such as feedback around how you're doing, you know, managers need to use those feedback tools as much as they can and have it in the toolbox, because you need to have feedback into you for both around the way you communicate verbally, but also the way that you communicate written. You know, so if you're open to it, make sure that you use that feedback to take it on board, see where you've got mistakes there, see how you can improve. The value in good feedback, it means that you can focus behaviours, not attitudes, of an improving. And the same when you give feedback to people, you're going to use that feedback model to make sure they improve. So why not ask people around, how do I come across? How does my written work come into it? How can I improve it? Nothing wrong with asking that question. Verbally, am I delivering the message correctly? Does it sound right? Is it at the right pace? Some people will be very open and honest with you, which is lovely, when they'll say, look, you're speaking too fast, which is one of the traits I sometimes have, especially when you're excited or nervous, you may talk too fast. So how do you slow that down? There may be also that your written work is not spelled right. I mean, that's something that I have an issue with, always have done. Being dyslexic means it's difficult, but I don't use that as an excuse, because software is around these days. You can have read-back software on most mail senders. They even read your emails back, or in Word, it'll read you back. And when you listen back to the words, you can start seeing where you've missed something out, or you've used the wrong type of word, or you've got commas and full stops missing. But use the technology. I'm not saying for everything. If it's a short, simple message, a couple of lines then, and to one of your directs, maybe not. But if it's going to be something quite formal and you're going to be sending it out to a bigger audience, a group email, take the time, read it back to yourself, then get the test software to read it back. And if you're really, really feeling that way, get somebody else to read it back who you trust to be able to give you some critique on it. Because that's the feedback part of it. It's feedback to get better. Either using the oral or the written work, you can get better every time. And because communication is the biggest thing that people say is missing, if you can become an effective and good communicator within a business, you can really push your career forward, you can really help your team grow and individuals in that team grow, and you can deliver results that we're here for. And I've just spoke about feedback. Remember, I'm always after it. So please, if you've liked anything in this episode, or if you'd like new or improved episodes or revisit to episodes, please send me an email to managermattpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to engage on those new and old topics, and I will answer any email you send. Well, that wraps up my two-parter on effective communication. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I do hope you're taking something from it. And remember, communication is part from sender, but mainly from receiver. And there's the old analogy, you've got two ears and one mouth, so you could listen, or you should be listening, twice as much as you're talking. Well, that's it for Manager Matt this week. Thanks for listening as ever. Goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening to this Manager Matt podcast. We hope you found it interesting, helpful and actionable. One last thing, please leave a quick review on iTunes or with your podcast provider, as it helps to spread the word of Manager Matt. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you did like anything in particular, send an email to managermattpodcast@gmail.com or visit managermatt.co.uk for more content. Feedback is a gift, so let's keep giving. See you next week.